We're almost at the end of the year. Advent starts in 2 weeks, marking the start of the church calendar, which begins at the beginning as creation prepares for Christ's coming. The church calendar is a cycle. It begins with Advent and goes through Jesus' birth and his ministry and his death and his resurrection and all the other stories that God continues to tell us. No year is ever exactly the same as the year before it, but the cycle keeps going. The cycle ends, and something new begins. Time is usually a gradual change. It never seemed to me that my grandparents were getting older, although in retrospect, I know that they were. We had to wait so long for the classroom butterflies to come out of their cocoons, and then when they finally did come out, we all missed it, because it was spring break. Dumb butterflies. Time ticks on, always at the same rate, although it seems to speed up as you age. But when you're 9, 1 year is 1/9 of your entire lifespan so far, and you can't even remember the earliest ones. A single year seems less significant in length when you have dozens of other years behind you. Or, you know, 2 dozen and change, whatever. But sometimes, everything is transformed in a moment, which is what happened in a vision to the writer of the letter of Revelation. A vision that he shared with the 7 churches he sent his letter to. Our reading this morning is from the letter of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. The Lord will dwell with them. They will be God's peoples, and God will be with them, and will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord. So here's a story that y'all are going to find hilarious. Go ahead, laugh at my expense. When I was 20, I was in Washington State for a weekend for a speech and debate tournament. It was really cold. Rumor had it that it was going to snow. Now, I have zero memory of how well I competed that weekend because I was too busy peering anxiously out of windows, and I'm pretty sure I was a broken record of, "Do you think it's actually going to snow? I hope it snows. I've never seen snow. I am very excited." Anyway, it snowed. And it was basically the greatest thing that had happened to me that year, and I probably started squeaking and making very excited noises. Snowflakes landed on my eyelashes and felt funny, and later I discovered that my purple mascara was running. Yes, purple. I was very edgy. And people literally stopped and stared at me, suddenly realizing that when I'd been gushing all day about how I'd never seen snow, yeah, I wasn't joking. So I'm dancing around as this magical white stuff is falling down around me, and the landscape turns from green grass and bushes and red brick pathways and brown benches into white ground and gray skies and more white falling down. There's a perfectly timed picture of me where I am just ecstatically looking up at the sky, and meanwhile, there's a snowball coming right at my head because my team members were jerks. The day of my first snow was also the day of my first snowball to the face, and also a day of repeatedly falling on my butt, because why on earth would I have worn winter boots? I grew up on the beach, and winter boots were not a thing that I owned. This is now the 9th year that I've lived somewhere with real winters, and there are a lot of things that make more sense to me now. I remember being taught about seasons using picture books, because January and July don't really look all that different when trees don't lose their leaves. But I understand now what it means for ground to be hard, not because it's been packed down, but because it's frozen. I understand that icicles can actually be dangerous when they're real, and not just plastic decorations hanging off of people's roofs with their Christmas lights, and yes, that is actually a thing that people in California do. You can get strings of clear plastic cone-looking things to hang out next to your cacti and palm trees. Some of them light up. But I understand how you can get lost when everything is covered in snow and directional landmarks are basically erased. I understand why people talk about winter clothes as being almost an entirely different wardrobe. I understand why Tumnus the Fawn carried an umbrella, even though it wasn't raining. I understand how even great big strong trees are weighed down with snow, so that they groan and droop and bend down, and how if you slip under the branches toward the trunk, you'll find a secret hiding place that wasn't there in the summer. But I also have a better understanding of the vision in the letter of Revelation, how all at once, everything familiar can be transformed into something new. I woke up one morning this week and it was freaking Narnia outside, oh my gosh! It's not a perfect metaphor, because I assume, or at least I hope, that the new heaven and the new earth won't require snowblowers and buckets of salt, and we probably won't be dealing with broken heating systems that prompt us to migrate across the building. And I really hope that shoveling won't be involved, because apparently snow is heavy and moving it is, like, really hard work. It's not a perfect metaphor, but it still helps me understand how something as seemingly familiar as the very world around us and the earth under our feet can be transformed into something new, something perfectly clean and sparkling in the sunlight. A new heaven and a new earth. Snowfall in the middle of the night, before plows come through, before snowballs are scooped up, or footprints kick through, or shovels mix in dead leaves with the white snow, with perfectly smooth snow rounding off every sharp edge, and the flakes fall thick but gently, and the night is totally silent, and you can almost imagine the world as a blank slate, and maybe when the sun rises, there will be peace and dialogue and understanding and generosity. You can almost imagine that just past the lamppost through the trees is a new adventure, better than any you could have hoped for. I think the new heaven and the new earth of the vision in the letter of Revelation might be a little bit like that. We will fall before God's throne and worship day and night. will be fully rested, with clear eyesight and perfect health and nothing to ever be afraid of. If we become overwhelmed, if we remember how much it broke our hearts to be separated from the loved ones we will be reunited with, our creating God, our Lord and Savior God Self, will reach over and wipe away the tears from our eyes with God's own hand. Like children in need of comfort, God will reach out and comfort us. The same God who wept for his friend Lazarus, even as he prepared to raise him from the dead. The same God who sought to provide for his mother's comfort, even as he hung from the cross. That same God will cry with us, even while wiping away our tears, even while telling us that everything will be okay, because everything has been made anew. And finally, when we have cried all the tears we have to shed, we will look up at the God who has always been there, the God who has always loved us, and we will become overwhelmed again, full of awe at God's incomprehensibly endless love. We will fall silent, lost for words. And there will be silence in heaven, like snowfall in the middle of the night.